On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jurors have been dismissed for the evening. I can assume that they're not listening to this program because I'm sure the judge said don't listen to any news reports, etc. He might have said just don't listen to Sports the Max because why would you ever want to? He might have just said it's not any good anyway. That being the case, the question that we've asked that has sustained some interesting answers is this. Is Kim Potter guilty or not guilty? That's it. Is she guilty or not guilty, and why? And maybe the other addendum to that is, if she is guilty, then how long should she go to prison? 651-461-9226. Now, I don't know where you fall on this, but I got to tell you something. I feel for her right now. Can you imagine sitting and your life hanging in the balance? And I know a lot of people say, well, if she hadn't shot him, then she wouldn't be in this position. I still feel for her. I still feel for her. I feel for her that she's sitting there. And the other piece to it that, well, you know, we can't legislate. We can't, you know, it's not our job. It's not the jury's job. And maybe some people disagree with me on this. But the price that she's paying internally, you know, it doesn't change the fact, whether she's guilty or not guilty, that a young man was killed, that Dante Wright's life was gone. And that weight will be with her if she's conscientious at all for the rest of her life. And I know you can't merit that in terms of, you know, well, therefore she doesn't deserve as long a sentence because she's got to live with it. But you can't help but think about that on her end, that she has to carry this with her for the rest of her life. Let's go to Ben, who's been waiting patiently in Faribault. Ben, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, so I think she's innocent. It's really unfortunate what happened. But, you know, we got to remember what would have happened if he would have not resisted and just got arrested. You know, got out Monday afternoon from court. He'd be having Christmas, too. Kim Potter is going to live with this and think about this the rest of her life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't know.
I mean, I get that, and you get that, Ben, and I think a lot of people get that, but I also understand that has nothing to do with the system, so to speak, that we've created about, you know, a jury of our peers and all those things, that you don't get to measure, well, she's going to feel bad about it, so therefore we'll reduce the sentence. I get what you're saying, but I also understand yep. This is a tough position to be in for the jurors and the judge and everybody else. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to take that into account because you feel bad. I get that, but we also all know that she, by all accounts, feels really bad.
Yep. Yeah. It's just a tough situation all the way around, and I hope they get the right, you know, conclusion there. And
yep. I appreciate the call.
I don't really have to say. Yep, thanks a lot.
Let's go to Jim in Brooklyn Center. Jim, you're on Sports to the Max.
Hi, Mike. One of the questions I hope you would ask is guilty of what?
But you know what? And I understand what you're saying. And that's why I said if you think she's guilty, because I don't expect people to have all the terms down. Is it manslaughter, secondary manslaughter, all that? But just what do you, if you think she's guilty, then what should the sentence be? I'm not worried about the sentencing guidelines for manslaughter versus second-degree manslaughter versus unintentional murder. I don't think any of us need to digest that. We all in our mind have a something where we think, well, either she's not guilty or she's guilty, but she should serve this much time. Now you're in Brooklyn Center. Can you shed some light on what that city has been like since that day?
Not really. Yeah, no, I can't share much about that. But back to the question is, I can't answer guilty or not guilty until I really know what she's charged with. And maybe if the charges aren't correct, she might be guilty of something, but not
charged. I understand what you're saying. That's a fair point. They may be sitting on this going, yeah, it doesn't really reach that. It doesn't really reach that, but we think it reaches something, but we're not lawyers, so we don't know. I mean, that can get probably fairly confusing if you're a juror.
Yes.
Okay. Good point, Jim. Thank you for your call.
Take care.
Yeah, I can see that where you're sitting there and you're going, hey, I think she's guilty of something, but not the stuff that they're prosecuting her for, which is why I'm told they can go to a mistrial or hung jury, because then Keith Ellison can reassess and say, okay, we're missing maybe we missed the mark here, but we still think she's guilty, but she thinks she's guilty of a lesser offense or a more egregious offense, whatever it is. Then you could pursue or go after. I can understand where that would come from. Let's go to Carol in St. Cloud. Carol, you're on WCCO.
Yes, hi. My comment is I believe she should be found not guilty, like the last two callers. It is unfortunate that that happened, but maybe we need to talk about why didn't he stop? Why do people resist arrest so these things don't happen? And I have a lot of respect for police officers. They have a very difficult job to do, and they're under a lot of pressure right now. And I think we need to be asking some other questions as well.
Yeah, I think, though, you know,
Don't run means don't run.
Okay, but I think the next question after that, Carol, would be, okay, you're right. He was wrong to resist arrest, but does the punishment fit the crime? Should you be killed for that? See what I'm saying?
So you can
agree with you, Carol. You could say, you know, you're right. If he'd have just behaved the way he should have behaved, he'd never been in this situation. Okay, he didn't. Okay, he resisted arrest. So should resisting arrest result in a death? Or should there be some kind of a punishment for even though they resisted arrest, it didn't warrant shooting them?
I stand by. That's a risk you take. When an officer says stop, you stop. If you choose not to stop, there's a certain amount of risk that you're taking, I guess, that you know, things will get worse. Things will get out of hand.
Thank you for your call, Carol. And I'll give you another example. I think most reasonable people, if somebody shoots at a cop and they return fire and kill them, obviously they were resisting. Let's say they're trying to arrest them and they resist arrest and they shoot at a cop and then the cops pull out their guns and shoot the person and that person dies. I think most reasonable people would say, I don't want to see you got what you had coming, but you knew. Once you shoot a gun, all bets are off. Once you do that and you threaten an officer's life, then death is a very real possibility here. I get that. The question is, when there's something less than that, so you resist arrest, but did it warrant being shot and in this case ultimately killed? Now you get into a different question. You know, he didn't fire back. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I just think most reasonable people construct in their mind something that warrants defending yourself and that death could be the end result. And they also say, well, you know what? He never pulled a gun. He never showed a gun. I don't know. Let's go to Dan in St. Cloud on line four. Dan, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Well, I believe that she's innocent. You know, at the time they decided to arrest him, they were aware that he had a warrant for his arrest for a weapons violation. At that point, he could be a dangerous person.
Mm-hmm.
The simple stop for expired license tabs and something dangling with smear was at that time a moot point. When they were attempting to restrain him, and he broke free when they were trying to cuff him and headed to his car. She didn't know if he was going to use his car as a weapon, if he might accidentally have hurt her fellow policeman that was climbing in the car to try and stop him, or if he would have hurt somebody on purpose with his car, or maybe he was going to his car to get a weapon. She had no idea. Those things developed so fast.
Sure.
She had to make a split-second decision.
Now, and what's interesting about it to me, and I assume, and I may not have this put together correctly, so I have to be careful when I state this, is that then an expert witness testified that said, deadly force would have indeed been proper in this situation. So therefore, it would have been warranted based on the actions of Dante Wright. That was an expert testimony. However, the conflict here is that she said taser, taser, obviously indicating that she was shooting with a taser and not a gun. And had she said, you know, put your hands up or I'll shoot, and it's a gun, maybe he responds differently. I don't know that to be the truth. That's just what I gathered from it as I listened to the testimony. You can continue to call. I'm going to give you another thought on this when we come back. That has really struck me and changed the way I think forever. 651-461-9226. Do you think Kim Potter's guilty or not guilty, I guess? It's bigger than that right now. It's much bigger than that. And if you miss on this opportunity to educate yourself, you're missing a big opportunity. I'll explain when we come back. Taking your phone calls. Is Kim Potter innocent? The attorney called in, Jack, and he says, "Don't. It's not a matter of being innocent. It's a matter of being not guilty." I don't know if there's a difference or not in this case, because it seems to me the intention is everything. And either you're innocent of the intention or you're not. That's just me talking. I didn't go to law school. But it's a fair question. 651-461-9226. Let's go to, I think I'm at the right page here. Is it Jacob in Blaine? Jacob, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, thanks for your courage to have this forum. I think we need it in this state. Not guilty for me.
Because?
A lot of gray area. Did she do the right thing? I don't know. But has she been proven guilty of a crime? No.
So you're basing it on what you saw, saying, based on everything that you saw, the facts, which is what we're supposed to judge it on, you don't think that they proved her to be guilty, right?
Correct.
And that's what you're basing it on, more so than, say, you trying to interpret her motives or anything else.
Correct. Was it a great performance of her job? I don't know.
But it's not up to you to know that. It's up to you to if you're a juror, to make your assessment based on the facts that you presented. That's what you're saying.
You are correct. And that's the thing. Our society now, we don't have room for gray. It's got to be black or it's got to be white in terms of one way or the other. And
you got that right. And we live in the gray. That's the problem.
That's where we are. So yeah. I thank you for taking this on, and I thank you for what you did in 2020 out on the street on Channel 4. That reporting was what we needed. So keep doing what you're doing. Stand up for truth, and God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. The stuff that we did during the riots changed my life forever. And the reason it changed my life forever is because of what Jacob just alluded to. I thought I understood. I thought I understood. I thought I understood suppression. I thought I understood what people meant when they said driving while black. I thought I understood that. And I realized I didn't. I realized that when I got pulled over, my adrenaline did not do was some of the people that are African-American in descent, what happened to them, because they were worried about things much more that could land them in jail and things like that that I never worried about when I was pulled over. And somebody said, oh, they pulled you over because, well, I got pulled over too because I did something wrong. And I worried about a ticket, but I never worried about going to jail. I never worried about getting roughed up. And without question, when they looked in my eye and I saw the fear and I heard them retell the stories of days gone by, that's the way they felt. And so I said, hold on here, man. You got to shut up and listen. And so I listened. And I listened a lot. And then I saw a semi-truck come right down 35, right? And to this day, it's hard to watch the video. Because you when you see the video, even though you know the outcome, you think somebody's going to get killed. And it's amazing that no one got killed. All right? Now, I was there that day. I was there when people came screaming. And they'd taken his cell phone and they're showing me his text, his cell phone. I looked at the text and I go, it sure doesn't look like to me like he had any intent to inflict pain on anyone. And they took him out and they beat him some and all these things. And guess what? It turned out that he had no intent to run anybody over and no malice. My whole point on both sides, you can't jump to a conclusion. It's difficult as that is, and as much as we want to get closure on things, there's two separate incidents from two completely different viewpoints. And completely miscalculated on both sides. Let's go to Joe in St. Cloud. Joe, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
I was listening to your show earlier, and I completely disagree with something you said.
What was that?
You said the charge does not matter. I believe that
the charge does matter, but I'm saying I'm not going to confuse the callers because I don't expect you to know the difference between first-degree manslaughter, second-degree manslaughter. Yes, the charge matters, but I don't want us to get caught up in the minutia because all we want to know is she guilty of something or not, but I don't expect callers to know the difference between the different offenses.
Okay, that's a fair point, and I agree with that, but in the same sentence here, you can, if you hit someone with a, if you're driving a forklift and you hit somebody and kill somebody, I believe you're guilty of a very low degree of manslaughter, but I don't believe you deserve to spend a day in prison. She is responsible for killing Dante Wright, but I don't believe she at all deserves to spend any time in prison. So, no, I don't believe she should be guilty of first or second degree manslaughter and spend any time in prison. But is she responsible for his death? Yes, she is. I still feel it's somewhat justified. But she is still responsible for his death, and getting a very low charge of manslaughter, I feel would be okay. But I don't believe she deserves that to spend any time in prison, if that makes sense.
I got your sense. So did she do something wrong? Yes. Does she deserve prison time? No. But I just didn't want to cloud the issue with whether or not we had to figure out, or you, the callers, had to figure out, because I thought that would be cumbersome. Well, if it's, I don't know what third-degree manslaughter is. I don't either. So I don't want you people, I want to take it down to kind of the bare bones of it, Joe. So thank you for your call. Let's go to Jill in Watertown. Jill, are you there?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Jill.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi. I believe guilty, because when I first heard this case, she was an instructor in the taser program for the police officers. So she should know where her taser is, and she should know where her gun is. So that's just how I feel.
Jill, thank you for your call. I mean, this is just fascinating to me because it's kind of like 50-50. And I talked to people that said, we watched her on the stand. Did you see the emotion that she showed? Did you see her crying on the stand? Did you see how bad this hurt her? Did you see that? She had no intention. She's not guilty. And then I talked to a guy that was been watching it with other people in a different part of town. And he said, did you see her on the stand? Those were fake tears, man. That was orchestrated. She practiced that. She was acting. We all agreed with this. All the people that I was watching with all agreed that these were alligator tears and crocodile tears, and there was nothing there. She's guilty. And I thought to myself, wow. And they are so convinced, both sides, that they're right. So how do you get past that? Well, how do you expect a jury to get past that? I mean, that's what I saw during the George Floyd riots. I saw people on both sides of it, and the Chauvin, and the this, and the that. And they were so convinced, based on what they saw, that it was this. And then the other person who saw the exact same thing said, it was this. And they're two opposite things. I think it's so important, this case, that you take this to heart, that you realize that however you see and interpret something is based on who you are, your background, and how you choose, what lens you choose to look at it through. And the real sin here is when you convince yourself that you have to be right because it adds up in your head. You're not necessarily right. And this is something I had to learn the hard way. Just because I see it and interpret it a certain way doesn't make me right. I might be wrong. And just because you think that what you heard, the testimony, the video that you've seen, this is your final conclusion and there is no doubt in your mind. Well, then why does somebody else that's reasonably intelligent see the same thing you do and have a completely different opinion of what happened? Because we were raised different, because we have different expectations, because we don't see things the same ever, even when it's the same thing. I'll leave you with this. By the way, Adam Thielen, this is a strange transition, but Adam Thielen was walking at practice today. So there's your sports report for this hour. So they hope he can play on Sunday. But it bridges an Adam Thielen story. I've talked about it before. The Vikings are playing in Charlotte against Carolina a few years ago, and I'm at the game. And Adam Thielen catches the ball in the end zone, and they challenge it. Was it a catch or not a catch? And there was a ton of Minnesota fans. And they replayed on the Jumbotron. And when they replayed it, the Minnesota fans pointed, see, there's all the evidence you need. It's a catch. And at the same time, the Carolina fans pointed and they said, that's all the evidence you need. It's obviously not a catch. You see what I'm saying? That's who we are. When we come back, Jay Pivak, I mean to tell you, this guy knows basketball. And he knows a lot about the city. And he knows a lot about life. The Piv, when we return on WCCO. I got a little stocking stuffer for you. How about a book by Jay Pivak, man? The Piv joins us now. Hall of Fame coach from MCTC and beyond. Product of Minneapolis. Coached some in northern Montana. He's seen this game, scouted for the San Antonio Spurs. You say the Piv, he just knows basketball. Piv, how are you?
Merry Christmas to you, Mike. I'm hoping for that white Christmas as well. It's always good when you can track those little pheasants hiding in the...
That's right.
You know what I'm saying. Right.
It's a lot easier if you can follow the tracks than if you don't.
You know, I'm getting old and the fingers get cold, though, on that trigger.
Yes, they do, man. And you don't want to be out there so long anymore, right? Well, especially on your head.
Right. Now, that's not very kind at this time of the year.
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Piv, we can go about 80 different directions with you when we talk basketball. And so I'm just going to jump to different topics here because I know you're well-versed in it. If people are wondering, does Jay Pivak coach anymore? He does not, but he was scouting for the San Antonio Spurs until what, COVID?
Yeah, the COVID year, they shut the Spurs, as all the NBA teams, they shut their advanced work down, so guys weren't... essential, and which made some sense. They can catch stuff on film now. Everything's digital. And the Spurs and other teams decided after COVID that they found a better mousetrap, and now they're doing stuff in-house. And there's a few teams that still have advanced guys out there, but the Spurs aren't one of them. So 2 years, it was a great 2 years working for a great organization, and I got to see the big guys up close. And let me tell you, it's a different game when you get to the Target Center and any other arena in America. It's just a different game.
How so? I mean, from your standpoint, how is it different? When you're scouting,
well,
I mean.
Yeah, well, it's first of all, the shot clock's faster. Mm-hmm. The action is nonstop. I mean, referees aren't fooling around with the ball. balls in. You know, it's nonstop. You're trying to get calls. You know, I always liked the target center with they put me. The Timberwolves always put me behind Crunch, and he had his drum out. And so I didn't know if Crunch was calling the sets or if Ryan was calling the sets or
yeah, was Crunch the secret? Was Ryan just a decoy and the real? Hey, we'll fool him here. Yeah, he looked to Crunch.
Let's put
it wasn't working.
it wasn't working. So just the fact that the game, you know, they talk about the court, which makes no sense in college and it makes no sense in high school, but the pros could probably widen the court a little bit. I mean, they're so big. Problem there is they lose a little money with those seats there.
You got right there and they want intimate first and foremost, don't they?
Yeah, and it is when you get the opportunity to get up close and personal.
Okay, so I asked Dave Thorson this yesterday, and you know Dave quite well. I said, you know, now you're coaching against Big Ten teams, et cetera. I said, but is coaching at De La Salle the same as coaching here in terms of the way you coach it, the fundamentals, and what you do? And he said, it is, but it isn't. And what he meant by that was he says, at De La Salle in general, we probably could run the same stuff all night. We are who we are, and we're going to do that. But he said, here, you better be ready to change on a dime. Is that what you saw, have seen over the years as you go to the different levels?
Yeah, the higher the level, everybody's pretty much the same. Depends on the night and your personnel. But I think Dave's onto something there. And, you know, speaking of Dave, and I know we'd get to the Gophers, great topic right now in terms of how hot they are. You know, first of all, as I look at this last year, the greatest hire in the Twin Cities this last year, maybe, I don't want to go how far back I want to go. I'll tell you what, Mark Coyle got it right in hiring Ben Johnson. And then Ben got it right. I mean, Ben put together, you know, Jason Kemp and Jenkins. And then, of course, hiring Dave. And, you know, that took some time to work out. People were speculating. But, I mean, that crew is working so well together. And when you see the cohesiveness of this year's Gophers compared to the cohesiveness, forget about everything else the last couple of years, they've got a ball club and they are believing in themselves. That's coaching.
So explain this to me from a coach's standpoint. You go to the transfer portal, you get a bunch of guys. Most of us on the outside looking in said, is this going to be a disaster? Unmitigated. And not only do they look like they belong, they play well together. So do we overrate the idea of people have to play together for a long period of time, et cetera? Can basketball be taught quickly? How do you assess that piece of it?
Well, the thing you have to remember is these are older guys.
Yep.
These are not freshmen, sophomores. They're juniors and seniors. And so they've been through the learning curve. Now, obviously, they haven't been through the coaching learning curve of Ben Johnson,
right?
But they picked it up quickly because they were already established in programs. And people would say, but look at the programs. Hey, these guys, anybody that's watched this year's Gophers can see these are some good players. These are some guys that are able to compete, as they've shown already in this season, at a very, very high level.
And to an extent, Jay Pivick, isn't that what you did at junior colleges every year because the influx was so great? I mean, isn't that what you have to do?
It was every year where you had to, you know, put something together fast, and you try to keep it simple. And watching the Gophers, you know, I don't think they're complicating things. I think it's pretty simple what they're trying to do, and that was certainly the way Ben played as a player, and the staff has embraced that as well.
Jay Pivick, you coached at the University of St. Thomas for a couple of years with Dr. Johnny Tower, and now they're Division I. How do you build that? What do you see? Where does the transfer portal enter in?
Well, that's a great question. I've had this conversation with Johnny many times. You know, when there was talk about it, they first had to find, you know, the right guy to lead the program. And Phil Esten was the right guy. Smart guy, been around. He's a Tommy. And then keeping Johnny on, which is not a surprise. The Tommies aren't going to they're not going to go through the transfer portal. I don't see that as the way they're going to build their program. Currently, I mean, they've
maxed out on expectations. They've done so well this year. They had a heartbreaker today. They lost in the last 5 seconds to Denver in Denver.
Yeah, afternoon 75, game.
Yeah, 75-74. It was a heartbreaker. And, man, I don't miss that, Mike. I don't miss that at all. But they did it with, their kids are basically 30 miles from their campus. They were
And as I understand, I ran into Steve Fritz the other day, the kids that got from the transfer portal have been injured or really haven't panned out. It has been basically the same kids.
Well, that's what the transfer portal did to them initially, is they were so concerned about how are we going to be, that they tried to, shore up the troops. And those guys have seen limited time, if any time at all, if they're even, suiting up in some cases. So they've got, they've got the players that they went to battle with last year, same group. And, one of the things that they do so well is they have spacing on the floor, and they shoot the you-know-what out of the basketball. Yep. I mean, it is fun to watch.
You give,
and it will
two
be
guards,
fun to watch
man, Miller and Nelson. You give them time, and Montana State had changed their whole defense for them. Hey, I want to ask you, can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Because I want to ask you about that. I mean, are we often thinking, and this pertains to both maybe the Gophers and St. Thomas, that, there's such a thing as a Big Ten player as opposed to a good basketball player, and the levels aren't as far removed as we think. Jay Pivick is our guest. He knows it all because he's coached at every level. He'll stay with us, and we'll ask him that question and much more when we come back. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, holiday edition, pre-holiday edition, we call it, because it's right before the holidays. Jay Pivick is a legendary coach, and he's touched a lot of people because of it. And some people maybe didn't know, he coached golf as well at one point in time. And I remember at the time covering your team when you were coaching, and you had a pretty good golfer by the name of Mike Opat, and you changed his grip on his mid-range game, on the mid-irons, on the 6, the 7, and the 8. And I got to tell you, Piv, you fell short there because Opie's never been the same.
You know what?
What?
That grip didn't help him.
So you're saying changing it wasn't the reason?
Yeah, once again, a coach messing around with somebody's game.
Yep. Yep, I remember covering him that year, and I remember going, what happened to Mike Opat? And then, last year, and then this year, I remember watching him out there, and I go, who changed his grip? And they said, Piv.
Yeah, well, I tried. That shows you the knowledge I have for golf.
Okay. All right. So tell me about the, St. Thomas can play with Denver in Denver. It's a Division I school. We get all caught up in Division I, II, and III, and we find out that these kids can play with them at least right now, or at least that's the way it's gone so far. So where are we at with basketball? Are there just so many good players? And the truth is, there's more. My philosophy after watching a lot of summer basketball the last couple of years is that there's more good players than there are rosters available, Division I, II, III, and junior college. And there's such an abundance of, because kids love to play this game because it's so much fun to play, that we have created this culture where we got a surplus of really good basketball players, right or wrong?
Not only a surplus, but in their infinite wisdom, the NC2A has said, you know what, let's make everybody a free agent. So now not only is there an abundance, there's an abundance of good players. I mean, I can't remember the number last year, but there was 500 and some kids, I might be off by a couple hundred, that were in the portal.
Yeah.
Well, now instead of looking at that freshman, you're looking at a transfer or a grad transfer. And these are older kids, Mike. Hey, I remember you at Hamlin.
Right. I would have made the move late in my career, perhaps, because I graduated early. Did you know that?
No. Know what? You wouldn't have. Well, first of all, there is still the debate that you graduated.
Right.
Second of all, as a freshman, and I saw you pitch.
Yeah.
Did you pitch? Yeah. Not so good, but by your senior year, you were getting it across the plate.
Right.
And so you got better. Well, that's what the transfer portal is, especially with the grad transfer and the older kid. They're looking for one more year to have that experience. And, you go back to the Tommies. I just don't think that's the direction they're going to go. Johnny Tower is tied in to the state of Minnesota in terms of the basketball world. I'm not sure there's anybody more tight end that has that kind of reputation.
I know, Pip, but you know he's going to get the call from the kid that he coached in AAU that he thought was a really good player, that it didn't work out at some big school. And it's not him seeking these transfer portal. They're going to be seeking him. Why would you not want to play Division I basketball in a wonderful Twin Cities area like this? You know what I'm saying? Get a good education. I mean, he's going to have to turn a lot of people away, isn't he?
Yeah, he will. He's a smart guy. Smarter guy, I don't know, with the exception of you.
Thanks. And Curry, Eric Curry too.
No, I knew that name was going to come up, and I just lost $20. Because I didn't think it would, but I knew you'd pull it in.
Yep.
He is going to pick and choose. Players aren't going to pick and choose St. Thomas.
No.
And he will have those options. He'll have to decide, based on everything that John looks for in players. And, you know, the first thing is character. Are they going to fit? They could be a great player, but are they going to fit? In terms of the culture, overused word, but in terms of the culture that they have, he's not developing a culture. He has the culture.
So it's continuation.
I think it's continuation. And man, you know, can those guys coach? You know, he hired a Division I guy, Mike Maker, that just a really, really good coach. And then he's got, you know, Gamelli, Alibi and Cam Rundles, all guys from the area that know what they're doing. And under his direction, they're going to do, they're showing that they can compete. I don't know really what that says right now. And people have, that's really the talk on the street is, what does that say? Is the Division I, the lower end of Division I not so good?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Are the Division III guys that good? Well, I'll tell you what, Anders Nelson, from Edina.
Yeah, boy, can he
point
play.
Guard. Could he play? Forget it. I mean, he can play. And then you throw in, you know, Ryan Lindberg.
How about the Miller kid from Benilde?
And Miller.
Come on now.
I mean, those guys are legitimate shooters, and they're legitimate competitors. When I watch them play, and John has said this, other teams are looking down at that end, and John said, we've never won in warm-ups. Nobody's going to look at us. They're not a team that's going to walk through an airport.
Yeah, getting off the bus, not going to be much there, yeah.
No. And so, but, you know, don't discount how good they are. And you could talk about the MIAC. You could probably take 20 kids out of the MIAC and put them on Division I teams, and they wouldn't be out of
place. And I guess that's my point. And leading into that is, I watch all the summer basketball, as I mentioned. Is AAU basketball and summer basketball, is it good because, you know, the great players want to play against great players, and at minimum they see what the standard is and who the great players are out there? Or is it dangerous because you can get sucked into a rabbit hole, so to speak?
Well, you know, we're a hockey state, and there's no question about it. But the growth that basketball has taken in the last, let's call it 10 years, Mike. I mean, it is incredible, the talent level, and that's coming from people across the nation.
Yes.
I get calls all the time from high-level guys saying, Pip, how about, and they'll mention a name.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all looking at these kids. These Division I guys at the major college, Power Five, they're in and out of Minneapolis, and people don't even know. And they're at these games, and they're looking at these kids. So now, you know, kids have a choice. I mean, you know, we always talk about, well, how do we lose kids to Duke and to Kansas and to Arizona? Well, you know, how's a kid going to turn that down?
And they're here and they want him. And so, I mean, that matters. Now, I want to go back to Curry for just a second, because there was a time early on in his career when Dark Star was still with us, and both of us noticed the same thing. We watched the Williams Arena work a game one night, and he'd come down to midcourt, and he'd always go baseline to baseline. And we pulled him aside, and we said, Eric, you got to cuddle at 45 once in a while to get down underneath the basket, because you'll get to the vantage point quicker. You'll be able to position yourself better. And he hasn't said it to me, but I think that's when he went from being a once a week, twice a week referee to being in demand throughout. It was just a simple thing, but we both noticed that we pulled him aside for his own good, and I think that's when he changed. Has he mentioned that to you?
He did mention, but he said it was Dark Star that gave him the advice, not you.
But I agreed.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a book coming out. In fact, I hadn't seen you for a long time, and I said, where have you been? He said, working on a book. I said, writing one or reading one. But anyway.
There's no pictures in this book.
Shoot, man. But tell me about the book and the premise of it and how it's going to read.
Well, it's one of the reasons that you haven't seen me. As Shakespeare knew, it's hard to be the bard. I mean, this writing stuff, Mike, it's no joke. And fortunately, I've got people around me that can read and write very well and can edit things. And the title of the book, which I'm hoping it's going to be done in June, is called The Book of Piv.
You like
that title?
That's really good.
Change it?
That's really good. Yep.
Okay. And it's a memoir of somebody that really embellishes stories, and that would be me.
Okay.
And so there's going to be some truth, some half truth,
and you have to figure it out.
No truth. You know, I mean, and you know, I'm changing many names in it to protect the stupid.
Okay, good. Myself.
We used to say that
when Sid Hartman wrote his autobiography, there were two things that stood out to us. One, he's the only person that didn't write his own autobiography, even though he was a writer. And number two, I used to tell him, if people are having a tough time finding it, it's because they have to look in the fiction section.
I drive on Penn over there in the Richfield southwest part of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I bow my head every time I go past the cemetery.
Yeah.
Right there on Penn. I bow my head. And, you know, he was a guy that was very kind to me in my career without question. Well, there was the one time that I didn't give him a minor scoop. I think I told him my car broke down and he didn't get to write about it. So he didn't talk to me for 3 weeks. But
I've been that person many times. Yes, I was. And now we remember it all fondly, which is kind of cool for all
of us.
We do.
It is cool.
But my last question to you is, and this goes back to Tower Thors and all of it, and yourself. It is my impression, covering coaches for a long time, football coaches, basketball coaches, baseball coaches, that the difference between the guy that sits in the big arena with the TV contract and the Nike contract and the guy that coaches junior college, Division III, or high school, many times is only because one decides to pursue the dream, the other does not, and they're willing to move around, but it has nothing to do with basketball IQ or understanding of the game or the people they coach. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are completely right. Folks, coaches talk about this all the time. Why do they move? Why do they climb the ladder? And, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are in a groove, and in a groove in a community.
Yep.
In a groove with their family.
Yep.
In a groove with their, just where they like to live.
That's my point. Don't judge them. There are some great, great coaches that have chosen that life over another. Hey, we got to go, Piv. Merry Christmas to you. I miss you. We'll do this again soon, okay?
Blessings to you. Merry Christmas and to all the CCO listeners.
Okay. There's another book I see coming out here. It's called Post Play by Ron Gates, and that will be released in probably March in conjunction with the NCAA tournament. Bill Robertson, we come back on WCCO.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.